through Ms. Carroll, who is here.
Yeah, I'm here.
Call to order the meeting of the Safety and Security Committee. I have a motion to approve the agenda.
A motion.
A second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. We approve the agenda. Could I have a motion with respect to approval of the minutes from the January 9th meeting?
A move.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second. Any objection to the minutes? If not, the minutes are approved. For this morning on the Safety and Security Committee, we have a single but very important item following up on meetings that we had last fall, recognizing that even as we make great progress on improving the system, bringing it to a state of good repair, incidents will still occur, just as happens with any form of transportation. Fewer, we hope, not so serious, we hope, but we absolutely have to be ready to respond quickly and particularly to communicate with our customers, with our riders, when those incidents occur. Since we had the first discussion on this, there have been many improvements in terms of process, in how we manage incidents, how we communicate effectively with our customers when those issues arise, and I thought it was important for us to hear what is going on in that respect. We're going to ask Hercules Ballard, the Director of Rail Operations, to take us through the things that have been done, and we'll also ask for some comment from Carol, representing the Riders Advisory Committee, since they were our partner in kicking off for this discussion, and we want to keep that partnership in place. Before we turn it over to Hercules, can I also ask Jim Doherty for our safety advisory?
Thank you, Chairman Dowling. Good morning, members of the board. First, in the event the fire alarm goes off, we would ask that you exit through one of the exit doors, probably the best is to my left. Head out the front doors, cross 5th Street in the crosswalks, and meet across the street at next to the green training room there in the yard of the National Building Museum. Our safety contact, as the year is flying by, we are about to spring forward, believe it or not. So, and that brings daylight savings time, and which begins every year on the second Sunday in March. Clocks are set forward by 1 hour in most of the United States, except for Hawaii and some areas of Arizona. With daylight saving time, we have more daylight in the evenings and less in the mornings. We ask that when you change your clocks, change the batteries in your smoke detectors and your carbon monoxide alarms. There should be smoke detectors on every floor of your home, including the basement and outside bedrooms and sleeping areas. According to the United States Fire Administration, most smoke alarms installed today have a lifespan of about 8 to 10 years. After this date, the entire unit should be replaced. It is a good idea to write the date of purchase with a marker on the inside of the alarm so you will know when to replace it. Some of the newer alarms already have a date in them from the manufacturer. In any event, follow the manufacturer's directions. Carbon monoxide is a colorless, odorless, poisonous gas. It can be generated in your house when fuel-burning appliances like furnaces or water heaters malfunction, or when generators or other devices are used improperly in or near the home. Carbon monoxide alarms can be used to warn you in the event that elevated and dangerous levels of gas develop in your home. And according to First Alert, carbon monoxide detectors last approximately 5 years, and after that time they should be replaced. So please remember, set your clocks ahead by 1 hour on Sunday, March 9th, and replace those batteries. Thank you, and have a safe day.
Thank you, Jim. Hercules.
Good morning, Chairman Dowdy, members of the Safety and Security Committee, Mr. Troop, and RAG Chair, Ms. Walker. The presentation today will list and explain the many improvements Metro has made. I'll get closer, sir. The presentation today will list and explain the many improvements Metro has made in customer communications within the last year. Since the Incident Communications Panel met on October 11, 2012, Metro has made many improvements to its incident management processes and revised its communication protocol and procedures. This presentation reviews the actions that have been implemented to improve the accuracy and the timely distribution of information to the appropriate employees, customers, and the general public. Metro has made significant process improvements and clearly defined roles and responsibilities related to incident management and incident communications. One of the many improvements Metro has made is a senior management conference line. This conference line protocol was established to connect senior bus and rail maintenance and operations managers, the Metro Police, the Safety Department, and communication officials a venue where they can remain abreast of incidents as they unfold and actively participate in decisions to bring the incident to a speedy resolution. Senior managers on the call are able to share information gathered by monitoring customer experience using tools such as the CCTV and stations, the analytical tools that show station volume, ride analytics that show station volume, feedback from our customer call center through social media and from the Rail Operations Control Center. The conference call allows senior staff to quickly gather real-time information to develop operational strategies. Information is shared on station crowding, train service frequency, location of support staff, and the progress of incident resolution. Based on station crowding conditions, additional police and rail managers are dispatched to reported station crowding locations to provide better crowd control and customer information. Improvements have been made in staff deployment, resulting in more staff being deployed to incident location much faster than before. At the onset of an incident, transit police and rail and bus managers are quickly dispatched to the incident scene to provide information and support to customers impacted by the incident. Once at the incident scene, managers are positioned in a strategic fashion similar to the old fire department's bucket brigade to provide a continuous flow of information to customers falling into and out of the rail system. Through various communication channels such as public address announcement, train announcements, social media, customers are supplied alternate travel plans, assisting them in getting around the incident location. The incident communication protocol for ICP is activated at the onset of an incident that could potentially resulting in a major delay to customers. The delay could be the result of a train issue or a station closure. The ICP flows from the Metro's media office to WMATA's website, the Rail Operations Control Center, local media, employees, WMATA stakeholders, MATOC, and the Council of Government.
What's a MATOC?
MATOC is, I'll give you the name. Program.
Oh, it's way down there. Yeah. COG subsidiary that there's information for.
After receiving the ICP incident communication protocol, the Rail Operations Control Center transmits the message to customers via Metro Alert, peer announcements, the PS Pass Information Space System, and to train operators who then make that announcement aboard their train. Based on customer search and feedback, actions have been taken to provide customers with information as fast as possible, including supplying station managers, police officers, rail and bus supervisors and managers with bullhorns, allowing them to provide better communication to customers during incidents. Station managers have also been supplied with digital radios that allows them to communicate with the Rail Operations Control Center directly over their own radio channel. These radios allow ROCC, Rail Operations Control Center, to communicate to the station manager directly while the station manager moves around the station assisting customers. Safety, emergency management, Metro Access, the customer service office, trans police staff now receive Metro Alerts, which allow them to provide the customer with up-to-date information. Bus OCC can communicate real-time information to their bus passengers either through digital messages to bus operators, who then relay that information to customers aboard their bus over the PA announcement, or Bus OCC can make a PA announcement aboard an individual bus or selected buses on a specific bus route. Metro has introduced multiple electronic channels of information that convey timely, understandable, and actionable messages directly to customers before and during their trip. The best way to know what to expect on the system is to subscribe to Metro Alerts. And check messages before you leave on your trip. Customers are encouraged to sign up for Metro Alerts to receive service information on their computers or mobile devices. Customers who have not signed up for Metro Alerts can visit Metro's website at www.wmata.com to get real-time status information. Within the rail system, the Passenger Display Improvement System, Information System, or PIS, and the Kiosk Information Display System, KIDS, public address announcement and train announcement provide the same information as the customer receives with Metro Alerts or at WMATA.com. A KIDS screen is mounted on each kiosk and provides customers with elevator and system status information before they enter the system. The Passenger Information Display System, or PIS, are located in stations and provide customers with system information after they've entered the system. Line or station specific information can be displayed on both the KIDS and the PIS for information at a single station, station on a specific line, or the entire rail system. Riders also benefit from the many media outlets, including TV, radio, and websites that monitor alerts, as well as our news releases. Along with their digital radios, station managers receive incident-related messages via Station Manager Direct, a local website which they can access from their kiosk computer screen. Rail and bus supervisors receive text messages from the Rail Operation Control Center, which provides them with a continuous flow of information and messages which they can communicate to customers. Bus and rail supervisors have received joint supervisor training, enabling them to work together during incidents. They are now better able to provide assistance to both bus and rail customers with shuttle information assistance for customers who have exited the rail system. The team together of both bus and rail supervisors places more support inside and outside of rail stations, providing customers with greater assistance who have been displaced by a service disruption. This enhanced and collaborative approach to the delivery of customer information and assistance from multiple offices within Metro has significantly improved Metro's ability to provide faster support and continuous flow of information to customers during service disruptions. We continue to re-evaluate our communication performance, and we are working with our internal and external partners to make future improvements in our delivery of information to our customers. Thank you, and I'll be able to address any questions.
I'm Carol Walker, and I'm a member at large and chair of the 2014 Riders Advisory Council. The council would like to commend the WMATA staff for moving forward to improve employee incident management and communications. riders can see that since the incidents of 2012 that gave rise to this panel, there have been no further incidents of self-evacuation. There have been increased public address announcements by the Chief Metro Transit Police and Safety Officer on this topic, and certainly better communications via the Metro Alerts and other social media systems. The RAC plans to review this report as part of its establishment of a 2014 work plan and may have more specific recommendations later. For now, we would like to see a definition of major incidents, performance metrics to measure progress in responding to incidents, fast tracking of improvements to existing PA systems, which continue to be troublesome, and finally, outreach in the form of listening sessions to hear firsthand what riders want in the case of emergencies. These sessions need to be at a time and place where riders are most likely to attend. Thank you.
Thank you for your help in putting this together. I think those are useful suggestions that we should be taking into account. Questions, comments from the committee? Mr. Bolger.
Well, thank you for the presentation and the Riders Advisory input. Good recommendations. I guess we need to follow up on some of the thoughts that we just heard. I just had one question that I don't know the answer to. Maybe you all do. How many people are signed up for Metro Alerts plus what I hear in the media, the tweets that also follow the same alerting process? Is there a way to know that, Lynn?
Sure. So today we have about 55,000 followers of the Twitter channel, although we split that channel. And so, you know, if you add police and all of the individual channels, that number's higher. We have 6,000 Facebook friends who rely less on that channel for day-to-day service information, but also get information through that channel. We have approximately, order of magnitude, 80,000 Metro Alert subscribers. We have approximately 9,000 subscribers to news releases for breaking news information. And then I would just point out that every month we have about a million visitors to the WMATA.com home page, and the breaking news bar on the home page, which creates a red line. Any incidents that where we're delivering emergency service information is displayed on WMATA.com. That is automatically also displayed on the kids' screens that Mr. Ballard described, the kiosk screens at every station entrance before you pass through the gates. So, again, I can't count those numbers in the channels, but those channels are also delivering that information.
Well, it's about 100,000 plus or minus.
That sounds about right.
All right. Just a final question, Mr. Chairman. Is there a plan, or should we have a plan to advertise our riders to sign up for Metro Alerts on the at the kiosks or on the buses? Or is it just we're hoping that they'll get the word? Or could we ask the media to help us with getting more people signed up?
I would commend the media on their repetition of that opportunity. We have any number of stories, whether it's online in the Washington Post or the TV journalists who cover Metro regularly, the radio journalists who cover Metro regularly. They're very frequently repeating that there's an opportunity to get that information. Many of them on their online services also carry our RSS feeds, which means their online coverage is automatically updating whatever we're putting out on the web. So they relay that information to their viewers and their readers on a regular basis. So we've appreciated that support. They see that as a public service, so do we. We have signage within the system that advertises Metro Alerts and encourages people to subscribe. We also use every opportunity at the recent public hearings, for example, in our news releases, and even when no incidents arise on the rail system, such as we had very recently with the snowstorm. We were running rail service right through the snowstorm, but we were frequently telling our customers that to get the most up-to-date information on rail and bus service that they should subscribe to Metro Alert. So we also try to leverage those opportunities when the eyeballs are really on us to encourage that participation. That said, I recognize there's a gap between 100,000 and 1.2 million riders a day. And we'd like to find a way to close that gap because we have this very effective channel to communicate, and we need more people to take advantage of it. I'm open to suggestions from the committee, but obviously we continue to keep advertising and promoting it.
The kiosk signs are pretty easy to read, and maybe we could, when there's nothing going on, sign up free Metro Alert.
They default to that, and so do the PIDs on the platforms also have a message about that that rotates through the other messages that you get there. But again, you know, I think that continuing to say to people when they're looking for that information, this is the time to do it. The other thing I've thought about is that there may be some people who aren't sure about this because they don't want their phone bombarded with what they perceive as messages that may not relate to them. So one of the things that we may try to do is go out in stations and help people sign up for just their line, just their home station, so that they're only getting the information that they really need when they travel. I think people aren't maybe as aware that they can really tailor this information stream to their needs and that they're not going to get every message we send to everybody about the entire system.
Other questions?
Just an observation as far as the media is concerned. I think it's also very helpful that a lot of the radio stations on a regular basis give kind of rail updates. I know WTOP, the one that I listen to a lot, like every 8 minutes they're talking, or 10 minutes they're talking about it. And some of the TV stations in the morning have, during their traffic update, they talk about all those incidents. And I think all those are obviously very helpful. And between that and the Metro Alerts, it really gives me an opportunity to kind of understand what's going on the system, especially if you have to, if you're riding a train. So I would commend the media for that and hope they can maybe even step it up a little more when there are these incidents that we're talking about.
Other questions? I do follow the Twitter amounts. I will let you know that the DuPont Circle up escalators weren't working about an hour ago. That my bus line, the 15M, is being rerouted as we speak. I think I may stop getting them all because there are some other things I like to see. They do bombard you, but it's a pretty good indication of what's going on a real-time basis. People should not feel that they don't know what's going on. If they don't know what's going on, they haven't really reached out to try to find out what's going on.
We would like to follow you, Mr. Chairman, if you could share your handle with us.
No, just one other thing, and I also hope we follow up on the suggestions that the advisory committee had, especially the one about the PA system, because that is a constant issue with me. Depending upon which train you're on, you may or may not be able to understand what's, and I know that's part of the momentum plan is to upgrade those and move forward. So I would just urge us to continue to put that at the forefront.
Yeah, I mean, it's been my observation the station systems are working better. I sell them on I'm going through a station, I'm not hearing Chief Pavlik or whoever else.
Jim's
on a lot. And that they're understandable, and we need to use that. But the trains, for whether it's a technical issue or a training issue, can sometimes leave things to be desired. What I find really frustrating is some of the operators are so good.
Yep.
They really are terrific. They're helping people understand what's going on. And other times it's strictly, what was that?
But, I think we need a contest.
Right, we do. I think we do.
We
need to recognize those who really do a great job.
Yeah, and especially the providing the explanation when your train is stop between stations, or you get some idea of what the problem is, or it may move in a few minutes or whatever. Just we can continuously, I think, do better with that.
Anything else for the
We don't have,
yes.
Excuse me, sir. We don't have a contest, but what we do is that when we get commendations for operators who make excellent PA announcements aboard the train, what we do is we bring them to the Operation Control Center, and we allow them to make a message, record a message that's played within the system for 1 month. And we hope that that would encourage other train operators who hear those announcements to want to improve upon their announcements also.
All right, well, since we're talking about training, there's one other little suggestion I would make. It'd be nice to have, as the trains come into the District of Columbia, to also announce that they're entering the nation's capital. I think that's a very important point. Just, I've had several people talking about that, the fact that we ought to acknowledge, and not only is it the District of Columbia, but it's the nation's capital. It'd be especially helpful, I think, for folks visiting the area.
If there are no other questions, I'll adjourn the Safety and Security Committee.
Good.